You know, one of the great things I experienced in going to the Orient was here are people who never heard of the fall. There is no guilt with respect to some creator up there who's saying you ought to be this way and you're that way. This is a wonderful heart cleansing thing. I've told many of my friends, psychoanalysis, save the money and go to Japan. Now we come to the third story. This is from the symposium by Aristophanes, in that wonderful drunken party, greatest the world has ever seen. They're talking about love. And Aristophanes has this little myth of love. The original human beings were as big as two human beings, only the Greeks being what they were. Of course, they were of three varieties. The one on the sun was male-male. The one on Earth was female-female. And the one on the moon was male and female. But at any rate, they were twice what each of us now is. The gods were afraid of them. And so Zeus and Apollo decided to cut them in half. And they did so. Cut them right in half. And then Apollo pulled together the raw flesh and tied it together, and that's the navel. And they turned the heads around so they could look at each other. And what immediately happened was that all the severed couples embraced each other and just stayed like that. So the god said, well, we wouldn't get anything done with this kind of thing going on. So they separated the lovers far apart from each other. And in their efforts to find each other again, they build cities and civilizations. This is really a basis for the Freudian view of all civilization as a sublimation of disappointed sex. So finally, we have this. Here again, we have the gods outside of the creature. However, in this case, the god is not the creator of these creatures. In the Greek world, the god is not our creator. The gods are our big brothers. And you know how big brothers are. You got to be careful with them, but they really don't have the right to order you around. However, you better do what they tell you to do, or else you get hurt. Now, this is a quite different attitude from that of the biblical tradition and the whole Semitic tradition, where the gods created men to be their servants, and they can give the orders. These, then, are three views of one myth, one old Bronze Age myth that has been inflected in three ways, and I think sets up very prettily the problem of these civilizations and mythologies that we're dealing with. And now to conclude this little part of my story, when you have two terms like God and man, there comes an ultimate question as to your ultimate loyalty. Is it to God or is it to man? Now, the recommended attitude in the Levant is submission to God, no matter what. And this is represented in the book of Job, as well as in Abraham's binding of Isaac. In the book of Job, God behaved outrageously. His friend, for all eternity, the devil, comes to him, and God says with great pride, "Have you observed my servant Job? Do you know a better man in the world? Does anyone honor me more than he?" And the devil says, "Well, why shouldn't he? You've been good to him. Make it tough on him and see what happens." As Gilbert Murray said, this is like taking a bet that you can annoy your pet dog all you want, and he won't bite. So this is what happened. God said, "I bet you. Okay, go ahead. Do what you can." So you know what happened to the poor man. Family eliminated, house burned down, cattle destroyed, he ending up on a heap of ashes with an outbreak of boils, and his friends, called Job's comforters, come to him and say, "You must have been quite a scoundrel to have merited this." Well, he hadn't been. He got it because he was so good. This is a bafflement to certain theologians. In fact, that's the point of the book of Job. So Job just held out. I didn't misbehave. I was a goody. And finally, with this, he brings God to show. And God appears. Now does God say, Job, you've been great. We had this bet, you see, and none of that. Nor did he try by any roundabout way to justify what he'd done. He just said, are you big? Could you fill Leviathan's nose with harpoons? Try it. I did. Who are you, you little worm, to even think of understanding what's happening to you? And Job says, I'm ashamed of myself. He abdicated his human judgment, his human values. He pours ashes on his head and submits. No Greek would have done that. You know what happened to the Greek gods when they were caught off base. They were diminished in the respect that was given them. Sure, one was careful. But my, oh my, it's like a bunch of politicians. You gotta respect them for certain reasons. But otherwise you'll end in the coup. But you don't really respect them. Prometheus is the counterplayer to Job. He represents the affirmation of the human value system against the gods. And when he was pinned to a rock by a great big one who could have filled Leviathan's nose with harpoons, Zeus to wit, and a little delegation comes and says, apologize, and he'll let you go. Those wonderful words of Aeschylus. And by the way, Aeschylus says Prometheus is almost exactly a contemporary of the book of Job. The words were, you tell him I despise him. Let him do as he likes. Now, of course, Prometheus could take it because he was a sort of supernatural himself. But the attitude is that of affirmation of human values against the powers of the Almighty. Now, look at our case. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we are with Prometheus. And for half an hour on the Sabbath with Job. And the next Monday, we're on a psychiatrist's couch trying to figure out what's going on in our psyches. And the answer is, we've got two totally contrary traditions, which our universities and clergies have told us can somehow be coordinated. They cannot. They are as different as Europe and the Near East. The European traditions are of the Greek, Roman, Celtic, and German worlds, and the myths of those, and their resurgence in the Middle Ages, particularly in the Arthurian traditions. The Levantine traditions are of the Old, New Testament, and Quran, and their characteristic is authority and Islam, which means Salam, which means submission. And both of these are quite apart from this Eastern tradition. Now, I've made a big point of this because we usually think of Islam as somehow Oriental. It is not. It belongs to this side of that line that I've been talking about.